Today, the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada is releasing Growing Up Then and Now, Cohabitation Marks the Key Difference. This paper examines four traditional markers of becoming an adult, starting work, leaving home, having kids, and getting married, and compares the contrast between today and the last four decades, and even further back, early into the 1900s. Researcher Derek Miedema finds, in some ways, there is nothing new under the sun. He's here now to talk to us about all of this. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good, Derek. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, I guess we used to have the Beaver Cleaver household where the mom stayed at home, the dad worked, very much two separate lives. Now we have a combo team effort where the parents are working. So what has changed in those households? What hasn't changed?
Well, this paper was to look at the whole process of the transition to adulthood. And what I realized in looking at a lot of writing about transition to adulthood is that we tend to look back to the 70s and say, oh no, kids today are aging, are becoming, it's taking them a lot longer to become adults than it did kids back in the 70s. What I found in the research is that in those four markers that you mentioned, if we go back to pre-World War II, we find that they're basically picking up a trend that existed back then that was, we could say, interrupted by the baby boom. So
in the end, this is really all cyclical, is it not?
Well, I can't look back far enough to say if it's cyclical or not. Back the 100 years, I don't know. I'm not confident I could say based on 100 years that it was cyclical, but there is some picture that, you know, birth rates have gone up and down, picking up that trend, too, from before World War II.
Do you think it's fair to make these comparisons? Because socially we just change so much. Even just look at technology and again, working women, how that's changed.
Well, I didn't make these comparisons in isolation from historical background. I asked the question in terms of birth rate. We're picking up, basically. We're back now in terms of birth rate we're back now in terms of population growth to where we were in the 1930s. Very different situation now than in the 30s.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with the Great Depression. Comparatively, we're in peace. Comparatively, we're much better off. I don't have the answers as to why the difference is, but that's why I say even some of these similarities are differences, because the background between the two eras is very different.
It also shows you how quickly society adapts to these things.
Well, it does, but you know, the big difference, I looked at those four markers. I looked at leaving home, getting work, I looked at having kids, and I looked at getting married or living common law, and those commonalities existed for the first three. The big difference happens when we look at living common law and getting married.
Ah, that's interesting. All right, let's go through this. Leaving home, how have things changed?
Well, in terms of leaving home, kids today, it again bears true that kids today, adolescents today, are basically leaving home at roughly the same time as their counterparts in the early 20th century. What's happened different from 40 years ago is that, and this ties in with the work situation, if you want to get a good career that's not in the trades, and we definitely need tradespeople, but if you want to get a good career that's not in the trades, you need to get a university degree. And that tacks on, you know, 4 years. And if you have a job that requires a master's degree or a PhD, just keep adding.
Right.
So that is in one way that delays home leaving, because we have kids, adolescents now, teenagers and adolescents who are coming home for the summer during school, who are having trouble finding work and may find themselves as a so-called boomerang child, you know, moving back in with the parents when they're having some job instability, and then moving out again when they find a good job. So home leaving has been extended, but again, it looks radical from the perspective of the 70s, but not so radical from the perspective of the 1910s and 20s.
And obviously that's related to starting work later.
It is. It is related to starting work later. And as I said, I think the big driver, one of the big drivers for starting work later is the fact that the job market has changed. It's changed in terms of educational requirements. It's changed even in the sense that a lot of companies in the 90s started contracting out their work instead of hiring new employees. So we have a situation that where someone trying to find a job right at a school could end up doing contract after contract after contract, which is not nearly as stable as having a full-time job. Then we take the, you know, it's a realization in Hamilton, certainly, you can't get out of high school and work for the steel mill anymore.
Right.
And wherever you are, if you're in Oshawa, you can't get out of high school and work for GM, or you can't get out of high school work for a paper mill. You need to have some greater educational requirements.
So there's more opportunity, or is there? It's just taking longer to obtain it.
Well, more opportunity is that's a difficult thing. You know, we get into demographics. We get into demographics a bit too, because I think in some areas we have the baby boomer generation making it difficult for young people to get into work. I'm not sure that there's more opportunities per se. I do think that it's more difficult to find the research shows it's more difficult to find that same kind of a job that right out of high school or even right out of university. You used to be able to find a job that would pay you a good wage, mm-hmm. would pay you enough that you could support a family that would be a lifelong job, and that's very, very rare these days.
Obviously, then, this is going to delay having kids, isn't it?
It is, and it is delaying people having kids. We know that in terms of age groups, the fertility rate of women in their early 30s, 30 to 34, basically in 2006 was the first time that women aged 30 to 34 had more kids than those aged 25 to 29.
Wow, that says something, doesn't it?
It does, but then I go back even a bit farther, actually, that the median age is, it's like half the people were lower, half the people were higher, but the median age of women at their first birth hasn't gone over 28 years since the mid-1850s.
Man.
So we have, if we go back that far, we can see again that it's not as big of a change from the more distant past as it is from the near past.
All right, that's three out of the four. This is the big one, because certainly people weren't doing this in the old days.
Nope.
Now you're talking about getting married as compared to living together. This has been debated forever. What have you found out?
Well, what I found out, it's a common experience, I think, that someone may want to try out a relationship, and therefore they think common law is a good way to test out the relationship. What I found is that 40 years of social science research, including Stats Canada, Statistics Canada, has found out that cohabitation, living together, is much less stable than marriage. That if you live together before you're married and then get married, you're actually more vulnerable to separation than you are if you didn't live together before you got married.
Really? Because that's the whole reason or excuse a lot of people used for doing this.
Yeah, it is. And the StatsCan, the research, 40 years of research, says that that's actually not true. People who live together before they're married are actually weakening the relationship. And the reason I come out with this, I realize I'm very different in some respects from your previous guest, but we don't... Given the reality that cohabiting relationships tend to break down a lot more quickly and more often than married relationships, even still today, if people are considering what kind of relationship they're going to get into, and people are free to choose whatever kind of relationship they want to get into, but at least we want to give some good information that they can have their eyes wide open and make a good decision when they choose whether they're going to live together or wait till they get married.
Do you think it all comes back to more at stake when you're married, less at stake, easier to run when you're not?
Well, I think it is. You know, there's some respects where it's easier to run. I think it can be a difficulty if a couple gets into a cohabiting relationship. You know, the guy brings over his toothbrush. The guy stays over a couple of nights a week. Then they realize that rent is so expensive, and it makes sense economically to move in together.
Yeah.
Are man and woman on the same page in terms of where the relationship's going? Granted, there's more tying you together if you're sharing a house. And you've got your finances somewhat tied together. There's even more tying you together when you have a child.
Mm-hmm.
But I see it on message boards all the time talking about divorce and marriage. Why get married? Because it's a lot harder to get out of a marriage than it is at a common law. But that gets to the point where if you're going into a relationship thinking it's going to fail, that already may have some influence on how likely it is to succeed.
And when you've started the relationship sort of haphazardly and you're not really looking forward to marriage or looking on to marriage, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to end up like, well, it went from this stage to that stage to this stage. Now we have kids. So you it's like you didn't really properly plan for the final outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't say that this is a universal in terms of all cohabiting relationships, mm-hmm. but where this does happen, where couples just slide unintentionally from one stage to another, it may be that the man or the woman in the relationship would step back and say, well, I really wouldn't choose this guy to be the person I'd spend the rest of my life with, but you know, we share a house, we have a kid together.
Yeah, exactly. In the end, you're doing just that.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, though, that Reginald Bibby did research in 2008, which found that still today, teenagers in 2008, 90% of girls, of females, 90% of females, 85% of males aspire to stay with the same partner for life. 91% of females, 89% of males still want to get married. And as we look at the social science research, and that research says to us, cohabitation is going to hurt your chances of having a committed lifelong relationship, then we want to get this information out to help people to make choices.
Website we can go to, Derek, to find out more?
Sure. The report's available on the homepage at www.imfcanada.org.
All right. Derek Miedema has been with us, researcher for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Thanks very much. Fascinating stuff, Derek.
Thanks very much.